services and become beggars. It is therefore said in the Shastras, Yan Maitunadi Griyameda Sukami Tucham. Materialism is based on sex, whether licit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers, even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. Bahuduka Bhak. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has. And similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
He is called what?
Miser.
Miser. So this is which chapter was the candle? Fifth. And verse chapter? 14:22. This verse tells us about the pitfalls of our sex life in particular and materialistic life in general. If we don't engage in Krishna service, then we're always in danger. So the situation is very precarious for someone who's in a materialistic life. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita that tells us that lust is residing in the mind and the intelligence, so that we don't have to look far. Where's our enemy? The lust is already there in the mind and intelligence. It's there to distract us. So it's very important that we don't succumb to the lust. Now, Prabhupada said that the Krishna conscious grihasas are not the same as the regular grihasas because they engage themselves in Krishna service. So by doing that, they're protected. Otherwise, like I met one guy who was in Miami at the airport. He said, "Oh, you people, you engage in regulated sex life. But I'm a Christian. And Lord Jesus said in the Bible, you get married, you can have as much sex as you want. As much." I said, "Did Jesus say that?" Now, he couldn't exactly point out the verse, but I don't think anywhere that Jesus said that. But anyway, this is what I think. So obviously, the more that we engage, the more we succumb to the nature of the material conditioning. So it's important that we don't, as a Krishna conscious Grihastha, they regulate themselves. And this way, they can be safeguarded from these pitfalls that are mentioned in this verse. If they think that I have a license so I can do unlimited, that's a dangerous situation, because then they'll be more attached to the body and less attached to Krishna. So our Krishna conscious devotees, They worship the deities. They come to the temple. They have attachment to Krishna. Still, they have some attachment to the material world, but that's at least is a balanced situation. Now, yesterday was the appearance day. I argued not Acharya Nagula, Narottama Acharya. That, and I told one pastime last night, but there are a lot of different pastimes. Last night I told the pastime of his first Agor Purnima festival. But he also had a pastime work because he had initiated, and he was a Kshatriya. He was the crown prince. He abdicated his throne and to be a devotee. He wanted to be a preacher. He didn't want to be a king. So he had initiated some Brahmas and others. He initiated anyone who was qualified. So he there's one Narasimha Maharaj. He was espousing the Brahmas, and they were speaking against Narottama. How dare he initiate Brahmas? We will go and challenge him to a debate. We are the Brahmas. We'll uphold Brahminical culture. So they went there. They grouped. They had a marching band. It was like as if they're going to war. Ramchandra Kaviraj and the Brahminical disciple of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. They approached Narottama and asked him what he thought. I don't mind talking with these people, but if they're coming like this, challenging mood, and they don't want to hear. They want to war or fighting or something. I don't want to engage in a fight. If they want to discuss, I'll talk with them about our Krishna consciousness, and I will, I can convince them that like this, this is not the mood for a discussion of spiritual topics. So then they decide, okay, we'll take care of these guys. So they crossed the river. And meanwhile, the other group was camped at, Sanagar. Just opposite the river of Kateri. So these are two devotees. They crossed the river. And then they saw two simple men wearing a gumshoes and their rip dhotis and whatnot. One was selling palm leaves, another was selling wooden pots, clay pots. So they said, look, we'll trade you. We'll give you a brand new cloth for your old cloth. We'll give you some money for your stuff. So they bought from him this stuff, bought from these two guys, and they dressed up like local pawn sellers and clay pot sellers. And so they sat in the market next to each other on the road, and they started, pawn, pawn, pawn. He said, this pawn leaves. This, you could eat betel nut. You need to take this pawn leaf. Actually, all the story that we can take palm leaf. It's not intoxicating. It's a betel nut. It's a little bit intoxicating. So generally, the devotees don't take. Although, obviously, they would take. Anyway, so they are the other one, clay thoughts, clay thoughts, get your clay thoughts. Now these are two items which they have to have. And the Brahmanas will eat the deal not destroyed, but you have to have the fresh plum meat. And the clay pots they used to cook and throw. They didn't have any problem to wash the pots. They throw them. So these two items were pretty essential for these traveling. So the disciple, the head disciple of the Brahmana, he went to the market to get palm leaves and some clay pots. And here he found the two sellers. Pan, pan, pan. Hari, hari, hari. Clay pots. So, he went. And he said, quoted out in Bengali. They said, and chased Sanskrit. They replied to him. He said, you guys know Sanskrit? Oh, we're disciples of Sinaratam. Always know Sanskrit. Sinaratam is a great pundit. He speaks Sanskrit every day. So they said, really? We didn't know Sanskrit. Oh, yeah. Ahang Gachami. He's a very nice Sanskrit to him. So then you're going to challenge him? Ha, 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 ha. That's the funniest thing. What do you know? And the other thing they were speaking to him in Sanskrit. So the guy, all the local people, ha, 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 laughing at him. And then he got all shook up. Well, if even the simple guys that sell the pandits speak Sanskrit, what to speak of their pandits? Oh, my God. So he went back meanwhile the king and his Raj Guru, they were hidden in the crowd in disguise, just to see what's happening. And when they saw that the head disciple of the Brahmana was just like laughed away by the crowd, then they got second thoughts. Oh no, what are we doing? What's going to happen to us? And they realized, let's go and see this Narada. Maybe he's not so dead guy after all. So they went across the river and saw. So they saw that Narada was a very great devotee. He was very nice. He was very gentle. And then they pleaded with him, please forgive us for any offense. Meanwhile, the head pundit, the head Brahmin, he appeared. He's outside. I gotta see Narada. Quick. Oh, it's life and death. Help. Last night, he ignored the king. Last night, Bhagavati Devi, she came to me in dreams. She had a chanter. She said, I don't get healed by you. She had a chanter in pieces. Please. I committed so many offenses. Please save me. Oh. Okay. Take it easy. Okay, I forgive you. Oh, I'm saved. I read Bhagavati. She's one of the forms of Durga. She's going to chop my head off. So, like this, that whole campaign was dissipated and they all surrendered to Narottam. And then they said, Narottam should go out and listen to the Bhagavatam class. So, they didn't recognize Rupa Narayan, I forget which one, Rupa Narayan, or Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, or Ramchandra Kajraj, one of them of the Bhagavatam class. And they all listened. So, in the end, they all begged forgiveness from Anartan, and Anartan was very much victorious, and without doing anything, just being himself. Jai Narayan Das Thakur Ki, Narayan Ki. So, of course, Narayan is famous for writing many songs which we sing, bhajans. See, maybe here like that he was the crown prince. To the Westerners, it may not mean a lot, but then he was a Kshatriya. So it was a big issue to the Brahmins that a Kshatriya was initiating Brahmins because they were very much following the caste system. But Nityananda Prabhu, he elevated people to the post of Mahantas, irregardless of what the caste they were. So this was the system of the of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and this was a system of practice by the followers of Lord Chaitanya, that the Vaishnava was more important than being a Lord of Brahmana. So in one case, Anarjan and Ramchandra, Kaviraj, they're living in their ashram, and they're headed to the Padma River to take a dip. It says that for the devotees, for those who are not envious of the devotees, you bathe in the Padma River, you get love of Godhead. But for those who are envious of the devotees, if they bathe in the Padma River, they get material suffering. So the Padma flows to the Bangladesh, and the Ganges, the Bhagavati, flows to Bengal and Mayapur. So does Bangladesh ever face any kind of difficulties? What do you think? Does Bangladesh ever face difficulties? Huh? Yeah, so this is all those, see, the Padma flows right through the middle of Bangladesh. And all those people that bathe in the Padma who are envious against the Hindus and the Vaishnavas, they suffer. So this could be one reason why they suffer so much. In any case, before them they saw two young men taking buffaloes and goats with some servants. And they thought, oh, see, the Kali or Puja is coming up. Maybe they're taking these animals to offer as animal sacrifice, so that they're not Vaishnavas. So then they thought, let's fish to them. But then the others said, they're not going to listen to us because, you know, they're thought of Brahmins. So then they thought, okay, you take the role of a caste Brahmin, I'll take the role of a Vaishnava, and let's have a debate right behind them at loud voice. So they were arguing with each other. There's no difference between Kali and Krishna. It's all the same. What do you mean? Kali is the energy of the Lord. Kali is not the Lord. Like this other going back and forth. Well, offering the sacrifice to the goddess of the animals, what's the problem? Anyway, it's prasad. It's not prasad. You offer this, you have to whisper in the animal's ear, Mang Sa, I take your life now, you can take my life later. Really? They're telling you, is that what that means? That's what the word, that's what the mantra means. But, anyways, given in the Vedas, and then he gave it in theta as a concession to the meters, but actually Kali doesn't take the prasad because she's a vegetarian. She only eats what Shila eats, and Shila's a vegetarian. Oh, really? Why are you taking? I don't know why you take it. Like this, so they're having a loud debate. So the two boys, they couldn't help it over here. So then they thought, what are you doing? They came back and they offered their allegiance and said, who are you two? Oh, this is Narayana. This is Ramchandra Kaliraj. Can we learn from you about spiritual life? Yes, and not all these goats and buffaloes. No, no. I released them. He sent back the servants to the father, Shiva and Bhattacharya. That he sent the servants back and said, tell dad or come later. We're not offering this animals to the goddess. So they stayed in the Bhakta program. You see, even in those days they had the Bhakta program. Anybody here in the Bhakta program? So, you're here. So, they stayed. I forget their names, but the two stayed. And they learned about spiritual life from the two great acharyas. So then they said, well, you go home to your father. So when they came home, they were wearing the Vaishnava tilak. And the father looked at them and said, Hakulagara! Kulagara! This means Kula is the family tradition. Angar means who is transgressed. Oh, you betrayed the family tradition. I cannot see your face. Take off that tilak. Oh, it's horrible. You should have the red tilak of the Shaktas, of the worshippers of Kali, not this white. It's so hard to see. I never thought my sons would wear this white tilak. And they tried to teach them, no, I cannot hear from you. You're my sons. You're not qualified to teach me. I'll call the Brahmins. They'll let them talk to you. So they called the local caste Brahmins. And they convinced them, according to the Shastra, what they were doing was okay. So they said, what they're doing is you don't know anything. What do you mean? You don't know anything. I have a friend. He's a Digvijay. He has conquered all the four directions. He's the Digvijay of Mathila Desh. I'll call him. He'll defeat these children. So I call his friend the Digvijay of Mathila Desh. Mathila Desh is where Janak Raj was the king, and where Sita was born. So Janak IV is in Nepal, but part of Mathila Desh falls in Nepal on the plain area, and part falls in Bihar, Bengal, just along the Bengal border. So this is a very ancient place, Mathila. So this Mathila finally came, and he said, how can I talk with your kids? This is beneath my dignity. I'm a great pundit after all. I have conquered all the four directions. No one has ever defeated me. So you bring some Vaishnava Acharya, someone, I will defeat them. I cannot talk to these children. So they brought some local acharya, Bhagavad Acharya. So he spoke. So, of course, these pundits, they don't know anything about, they only read their sections of the Puranas. And they don't really know much about the Vaishnava philosophy. So he said, you're allowed to speak first. So that Vaishnava said, well, according to the Shastra, you see, the Brahmins had 12 qualities that are very great. So I said, yes, yes, I accept this. You're correct. See, the Vaishnava has the same 12 plus one more. Pure devotion for Krishna. So the Vaishnava is greater than the Brahmana. And he quoted the scripture. I don't know. It's in the Shastra. I'm defeated. Oh no! I've never been defeated before. Oh no! I could not take it myself, Dharma. I could not take it. I'll choose a middle path. I shall wander the world as a fakir, as a dandikin, and just beg for a living. I have been defeated. Oh no. So there's no such middle path. He should actually accept the Vaishnava as his guru. But unfortunately he was very proud, so. And then Sivananda Bhattacharya, when he saw his Adigvi Jai, great planet was defeated by the simple Vaishnava Acharya, he became like mad. Oh no! He became a crazy guy. So the sons, anyway, what to do? They went back to Narottam and Ramchandra Kharaj. They told what happened. And they said, we want to be initiated. Well, they said, you can only take one Diksha Guru. So they were discussing what to do. We like both. Both teachers taught us. We can only take one as Diksha Guru. So they made a deal. Okay, you take one as your Diksha, I'll take him as a Siksha. I'll take the other as Diksha, you take him as a Siksha. So, because you're allowed to take many Siksha Gurus, but only one Diksha. So, they accepted the initiation. But no one could tell who was the disciple of who. They served each of the gurus so nicely that they couldn't really tell just by observing that this one had more devotion. They were very respectful to both the gurus. Although technically the Diksha Guru is, his instruction is considered, should they have more weight. But because both of them were total harmony anyway, that question never came up. So, this was like this, Narottam and Ramchandra Kali Raj, they were preaching in different ways and different tactics. So gradually their name and theme spread very wide. And they became very famous, especially. The three are together. Narajam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda Pandit, when they took the books back, the books were stolen in the, what's that place called now? Bangura. in the kingdom of Vishnupura, Vankura. So these are all the looks. There was a king there, and he had an astrologer. So he said that he would tell when there were travelers going across to his kingdom who has a valuable treasure. And he had a special secret service who would go and steal the stuff from the people. And they would come to him as a king. He looked, okay, we'll try to solve this case. Who are the thieves? And sometimes they get back a little bit. You got to sell your stuff that way. The thieves we didn't get. So like this, the Vankura is a kind of a poor state. So it's now a district. But in this way, he would make his money. And then he read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's all the story that mainly involves Srinivas Acharya. But so this astrologer told all that there's a great treasure. This is a priceless treasure. And this treasure is so valuable. I can't even begin to estimate how valuable it is. So the king, wow, I'm going to make it rich now. Now all my problems will be solved. I'll get this treasure. So he thought, I better not let the thieves see the treasure, because then they get greedy and steal from me. So in any deal, you bring him back the treasure here, don't open it. I'll give you each so much. So they went there. The three acharyas were sleeping. The guards who were there to give them the reward for Maharaj, they are also sleeping. And it's easy. They just took the treasure case and brought to the king. When the acharyas woke up for the early morning bath and mangal arti, Oh no! The looks of Krishnadas Kaviraj or the six of Swamis, all the looks are gone. Oh no! They're like hitting their head on the rocks and stones and trees. Oh no! They entrusted the looks to us. Srinivas said, look at them. The deity said, I should carry the looks. There must be something involved. You go back, you go to Narayana, you go to Kateri, you go to Shalanpani, you go to the northern Orisha. When I find the books, I'll tell you. I'll send messages. There's no need. The deity entrusted me. I'll do the needful. You please go back. Don't worry, these looks, somehow they're protected by Krishna. So, Narada was sent back. So like this. We took this safari to Diya Ganj. There's a temple there of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And that Narada was, it's like, well, it's on the bank of the Ganges, right close to the confluence where the Padma and the Ganges separate. It's within 50 kilometers or 40 miles from Kateri Ground. Kateri now is in Bangladesh, and this is in India. So I went there, and they have the samadhi of one of the Manipuri kings who came there to see Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, and they have several on. I have the Sanadi Anagam. So he said, how did Narada meet? And he said, well, he bathed in the Ganges and he turned into milk. So they scooped up a clay pot of milky water, and that's all that they put in Samadhi. So this place where he turned to milk is called as the Dut Ghat, the milk bathing ghat. So we all took out that thing. And another time like that, he disappeared in the Ganges. He didn't leave any mortal body after him. So we bathed in the Dut Ghat. This last 2 years ago, I took the 2 or 3 years ago, I took the safari to Bangladesh after many, many years. This time we had one of the one of our devotees was a retired what they call DIG, a Deputy Inspector General of Police. So he was high ranking. So he knew all the superintendents. He was retired. So he recently retired. So he phoned them up and said, you please take care of the this safari. They're going to visit holy places around Bangladesh. So he had about how many, 150 devotees from maybe 35 countries. We had a lot of Russian speakers because normally they only got a single entry visa for India, but they got them a double entry so they could enter into Bangladesh and come back. So not everybody came with a proper visa, but we had like 150, 200. So we went around a Bangladesh. So first stop after the Haridas Thakur stop was Khetri. So there's a tree called the Premathala. At that tree, the love of Godhead was kept for Narottam. So when he did, see, Lord Chaitanya left all of the Godhead and the Padma River. So the Padma said, how do I know who's Narottam? He said, when he bathes in your water, he'll feel ecstasy. And he also chants Hare Krishna. So you'll experience some ecstasy, you'll chant Hare Krishna. You give that person love for Godhead. So when Narottam went to the Padma, he took his bath, and then he, at that place, then she gave love of Godhead to him, and he changed from a darker color, he changed to a very light color. So when he came home, mother could not recognize him at first. She said, what happened? I don't know. I bathed in the Padma and it changed my color. And that then he had love for Krishna. Love for Krishna. So, the devotees, we sat under the Premathala and we saw the different, we saw the temple where they, most of the deities had been shifted to Vrindavan. We saw the place where Narottam used to have his temple. And then we went to another place where Narottam used to write. So, but some of the devotees, they didn't know at first. They're sleeping under the Premathala. They're sleeping under the tree which had love for Krishna. So when he woke up in the morning, he told them, you're still under the Premathala. And they were very happy. Oh, Jai. So all these places are still present there. Many years ago, Subhag Maharaj, he went to see this Akhetri. At that time, he had some Indian money in his pocket. So the police chief stopped him and hung with Indian money and said, "You crossed over the border illegally." "No, no, I didn't." But he didn't have his passport because he left his passport somewhere else. So they arrested him. They thought he was illegal like that. So then one secretary of the government was a Hindu. So he showed his passport, said, "It's all right. He's not an infiltrator or nothing. He's a sadhu. He's okay." So that person became a supporter of ISKCON after that. So we take it like he was sent by Narottam. His name was K.V. Roy Choudhury. And he became the official president of ISKCON in Bangladesh. Although he was not following all the four principles, but have a secretary retired from the government, it was a good strategy, because the local government, they knew that, okay, if he's a secretary, he had a high protocol, high clearance. So nobody messed with ISKCON. So like that, we always had some very high, the president post. He's usually not necessarily a devotee. All the other posts are devotees, but that one post we keep for some figurehead, who is some a general or some secretary or someone recognized by the government as a Hindu leader. So that way. But this all happened connected to Kaitreya and Narottam. So we went to pray to Narottam Das Thakur that he gave us the blessing to preach the destroyed books, to sing his bhajans, to give love for Godhead freely to everyone, regardless of caste, creed, color, nationality, gender, any kind of discrimination. This is what he was famous for. Jai Narottam Das Ki. So any questions? Cold water, using hot water.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. You mentioned early in the class that becoming a Vaishnava is more important than, so to say, becoming a Brahmana or something like that. I kind of have the experience in my spiritual life that sometimes I, when I'm, say, practicing skills like the mridanga or doing kirtan or memorizing shlokas or different things, that I tend to feel that I'm maybe becoming more advanced or making advancement because I'm developing those skills. What is that the proper, so to say, what I should be working on? Or is there a different, what's really becoming a Vaishnava? What does that include?
In the same question. It's like you thought the question at the end of making it. I got learning slokas or all those others are external aspects. We want to be qualified to our guru or to be able to preach. So you need to learn the shastra. We need to learn how to behave properly. So but that's external, because the sense is that we do everything for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Now, we want to please Krishna. That's what the Vaishnava is. We want to serve our Krishna, our thoughts, words, deeds, eternally. Now, a Brahmana, say they identify as a spirit soul, Aham Brahmasmi, they should usually want to, usually they're impersonalists, and they want to merge into the jyoti. So, the Vaishnavas, they want to serve Krishna eternally. So they like to go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna in one of his spiritual planets. There's a four Vaishnava sampradayas mentioned in the Padma Purana. It says if you get mantras from these four, if you don't get from these four, then your mantra will be nisphalataha. It'll be without fruit. So the four mentioned are the Brahma, Rudra, Sri, and Kumar. So we come in the Brahma Sampradaya. That's from Brahma, Brahma, or Shiva, or Lakshmi, or the four Kumars. These four are authorized. So part of being a Vaishnava is that if we get the opportunity, we don't reject or unnecessarily or delay in taking some initiation from a guru in one of our nishithic succession. It's part of it. Now, like Jiva Goswami, in order to serve his guru, Arupa Goswami, better, he wanted to qualify himself. So he went to the Varanasi University and he learned Sanskrit. So he was a great scholar in Sanskrit. That didn't make him Vaishnava. He was Vaishnava because he did it to please Krishna, to please Guru. He thought he could use this. So learning slokas, reading, all these are good if he uses for Krishna. If you think, oh, I'm great, I know so many slokas, I'm better than this one. He only knows 17 slokas, I know 21. I'm the greatest. Obviously, that's not going to help you in your spiritual life. You know. So you want to, all those things are okay. There's nothing wrong. It's good. You want to be a qualified disciple. I had one disciple from Guyana. He said he was a migrant to Canada, and he was making $40 an hour as a welder. So he thought he was really the greatest because he was making so much money welding. So at night, his family was back in Guyana. Or Guyana, I don't know how you pronounce it. And he hit the tethers and had some rum. That's the amongst the those from Trinidad and Guyana. They like rum. So he had a few relatives. He met one, a Sankirtan devotee, who tried to deceive him again. No, no, I know. I'm Hindu. I know that. I have this. My grandfather used to read it. So he went to another tavern, had some more around. This time again, the same devotee happened to be the outside. He said, "Sir, you're a great pundit, I know. This Gita is very good. Please, I'm begging you, take this Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you give as a donation, we'll take it." He thought, just see, I'm an immigrant from a foreign country, and this local Canadian, he's begging for me. I have achieved it. I have made it. Now, okay, take $10. Give that book. Put it in his big face. You know, the next day, Ram had worn off. He had a headache. Oh. He opened the book. He opened his big face. Oh, how did I get this Bhagavad Gita? So he started reading the Gita. And then he saw, oh, here in Toronto, there's one ranch, 233 Avenue Road. Let's go there, see what it's like. So then he went. It happened to be like a day before yesterday, the Nityananda Trayodashi. So there was a big kirtan, there was a big feast. That was it. He got drawn into the kirtan and Hushan feast. He was hooked for life. So then he read all the verses. And the so-called pundits from Guyana, they don't know much. They just, they present themselves and he'd say, Bhagavad Gita said, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, you know, I am the cause of everything. I mean, they wouldn't know what to say. So, like this, he used the slogans of this preaching to the fellow Guyanese he made, many devotees. Since then, he's migrated to Orlando, but he tells, this is how I became a devotee. I was thought out that I was proud. I thought I was a great welder. Later, I hurt my back welding. I got the mercy from the book to Sewer. He gave me the Bhagavad Gita. And because he was humble, somehow I took it. And that Bhagavad Gita saved my life. Jai Bhakti Sewer Shankhi. Sankirtan Yoga Ki. I saw. If you use your slokas, if you use your rabbinical qualities to extend your preaching to your service to Guru and Krishna, that's okay. But what makes you Vaishnava is that you want to use everything for Krishna. Otherwise, what's the difference to you and any other pundit? These pundits, like Digvijaya, he wants to show off, he knows more than the other. Jata Muni, Tata Mat. As many of the Munis, they have some different opinion. So, we all have the same opinion. We want to serve Krishna. That's our unity and diversity. We're diverse persons, we have the same purpose. The purpose is to serve Rukmini, Dwarkadish, Ramanava, Hare Krishna, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Gauranitaya, Hare Lord. Any other questions? Come and see me. Do we have anything to give out? Are seeing you all? One more question. Give her the mic.
She's asking.
All over the world are watching this class.
She's asking, what attitude should we have when we see devotees attacking? How can we heal our heart without breaking our faith? especially when some of these attacks are coming from other devotees.
How should we feel when we are attacked by devotees? Attack means physical or verbal? Well, it depends if the devotee is a senior, peers, or junior. If they're like new devotees, we deal one way. If they're senior devotees, well, we take it humbly. We try to see, is there really anything wrong in what I'm doing, what they're saying. We take it a little submissively, but if there's a doubt or that maybe the senior devotee is not correctly speaking, we can discuss with our guru, with others. We have the faith that, okay, if they feel I'm doing something wrong, that their faith is based on their experience, on their knowledge of Shastra. They want to do so not because they hate me or something. It's what their opinion is, based on what they know. She can go to someone more senior than that person. Say it's a local president, senior, or the GDC, or one's guru. And just to, if he has some doubt that this devotee says that I shouldn't read the Chaitanya Charamrita before the Bhagavatam because otherwise I'm a total Maya. You know, Prabhupada never, he said that the systematic way you read is Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charamrita, but he didn't say you read a little of the Chaitanya Charamrita, you're a Maya or something. You know, some devotee might say something that's a little extreme. We had some devotee come to Mayapur and tell everyone that if you, I forget what he said, but it was something like if you didn't know the Rasa Lila, you were in Maya or something. But generally, for the new devotees, we don't read the Rasa Lila. That comes later. So, you know, there's some devotees, they're in the sannyasis, or they're in the some senior devotees, so they have their opinion. We can balance that out. We can hear, if all the senior devotees say the same thing, well, then you were wrong. You know, at least we should question what we're doing. Is it correct? Is there something wrong? Why does the devotees think wrong of us? Why are they attacking us? So we want to be sure that what we're doing is right. After that, like some devotees have different opinions. You can't please everyone. But we don't want to hold any hard feelings in our heart to that devotee. We accept that the devotee, that their opinion is based on their Krishna consciousness. They may not have the highest, or they may have a particular angle on Krishna consciousness, which may not be applicable to me. Maybe it's applicable to some people. Like this, if it's just your friends or your or some junior audience, you can be a little more, you can debate with them, you can discuss with them. Why do you say it like that? And you can quote some slokas. If it's a senior Vaishnava, you can ask questions, but you shouldn't like challenge, no, you're wrong. You can ask questions. Prabhu, you're saying like this, I have a doubt. And he asked a question. If he always had the right to ask a question, that, and by, I was with Srila Prabhupada, and he was once talking to the a brother of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he asked a question. So he said that asking questions is not an offense. It was a bit of a pointed question, but he asked it as a question. Now, we didn't have much experience of Prabhupada dealing with that someone of a superior position, because Bhakti Siddhanta had already left the world, and this was the only person that was, he had no only one godbrother, and he had already left. So this was the only Vaishnava that to some extent was like a similar level, because he was the brother of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I had this personal experience that he said, it's not offensive to ask a question. So you can ask a question. You can say, I have this doubt. All you're saying, I respect you, I have you in my esteem, but I have this doubt. And you say what your doubt is. And then they either are able to answer it or not. So like this, you can ask a question. But we shouldn't just like, you know, some Prabhupada disciples have gone over to some other mission and left ISKCON. So then they say, you should be open, you should embrace all the others. You say, well, Prabhupada told us that we should stay in ISKCON. That's proof of how we love him. How well we love him is how we cooperate with ISKCON leaders, how we cooperate with ISKCON devotees. This is my doubt. So you're saying I should leave ISKCON. But Prabhupada said we should stay in ISKCON. So I have this doubt. So technically, you're not offensive. Of course, you know, for Swadharj, myself, or Vyati, or other Prabhupada disciples, we might be more harsh. With such people, but maybe the grand disciples will be a little respectful, but you need to be firm, stand your ground, not just to swept away. Who's the person speaking? You know, if the person is actually on a local authority, then why is he saying that? It's something you looked into. Maybe there's something you're doing which is not proper, or otherwise maybe he's alt, but it should be dealt with very I don't use the word diplomatic, but shall we say using etiquette. Maybe others would like to add something to this. So that's really what I'm saying.
All the points seem very valid and significant. I think that if you're in a position of some kind of responsibility in ISKCON these days, you know, it's very difficult to devotees in general to understand how to properly approach a senior Vaishnav or Vaishnavi with respect. I think that's one of the one of the things in ISKCON today that I think is very difficult is that a lot of times one's own godbrothers or godsisters won't even step forward and support a senior devotee such as yourself that's in a position of guru responsibility. I think that there needs to be more of that. And I think that the second generation devotees, they should understand that anyone that's a Prabhupada disciple and still serving in ISKCON today, they've actually gone through a lot of situations, a lot of austerity, a lot of sacrifice, and they may never understand what that austerity or sacrifice is. They may have a somewhat of an understanding, but I don't think they'll really understand what it means to be there in the beginning with Srila Prabhupada and serving today. There's that, I don't know, for lack of a better word, there's this mystique. I don't think anyone could see, or even like myself, very difficult to me to fully appreciate the association that you had with Srila Prabhupada or any other one disciple that had association with Prabhupada. That association, that activity, I'll probably never understand the extent of that, although I may have an inkling. But I think that we should try to teach the second generation how to become more respectful of a Prabhupada disciple, and how they need to understand the difficulty that it is, or it takes, to go on in Krishna consciousness. And yes, there will be mistakes made. There will be a lot of situations that they may not like or may not appreciate. But it should be understood that anyone that's performing the service in Krishna consciousness for so many years, like yourself or any other senior devotee, that it's not by some material, you know, power or position, or it's actually devotion. And I think that needs to be exhibited more, explained more, talked about more, so that there can be this better understanding of that position. I hope I made sense. But I just think there needs to be more of that in our society today.
Radhana Maharaj was giving a good example of two devotees, the two brothers from Mayapur, who are the Puyaris, Jananivas and Pankajangani. Those two brothers, he was glorifying them, saying that they've been through so much in Mayapur. So much, you know, he even said, we accept that we have a lot of faults and difficulties in ISKCON and politics and so many things. But these two brothers, they remain faithful to Srila Prabhupada's service. Their humility and their dedication to Srila Prabhupada made him overcome all those problems. So anyone, any devotee going through difficulties like that, if they remain loyal and service and dedicated to Prabhupada, to the mission, all the other things will become meaningless or insignificant. And of course, you give a good explanation of how to deal with seniors, with equals, and junior devotees, with the proper etiquette. So the attitude that you were explaining, you know, how to adopt, it was perfect. But I was just adding this part of two devotees as examples in ISKCON, for serving ISKCON for almost 44 years. Their humility, their dedication, and their loyal service to Prabhupada made them strong. And in spite of also critical things that happened, they remained victorious, and they remained like good examples for us to look up. Thank you.
Jananivas and Pankajangani are very special devotees. I took example, like, as a co-director at my employer, GBC, I had to deal with all kinds of issues. Say one of them would come to me and discuss something, and if someone else came and they were talking some management issue, I look, they'd be gone. If it didn't involve them, they're gone. They just they're focused on the deity service. And what to speak of, like, for Jalda or other things, I mean, they didn't even stay to hear other management issues that didn't involve them. To some extent, Pankaj Younger, he's a little involved in management. Jani Vash is like, completely absorbed in his deity worship. That's the one thing. On the other, now, occasionally they visit Vrindavan or they visit Chautati or something to see the different temples. But for like 20 years, they never left Mayapur. And especially Janivas. Like one time he thought, okay, I'll go to the Ganges and take a dip. No sooner did he go to the Ganges, and then there was like a big problem in the Pujari. So he was always like, where Prabhupada wanted the standard for the head Pujari of the Krishna Mandir in Vrindavan. But when he told that the standard would be, they never go to Lloyd Bazaar, they never go anywhere, they just stay with the deities. I had the jar left. He got a nice flight one back. So it was tough to be really to be aware to be connected to the deity, and that's your total service. So what we're told that if they do the service in our conditioned life in this world, our service or the jar or Sankirtan or whatever it might be, we do our devotional service. That's our connection to Krishna. And not everybody, someone has to do the management, but not everyone has to do it. So, on the other hand, when you're in the spiritual world or in Krishna's Leela, and then our relationship with Krishna as a coward boy or a coward girl or queen or parent or whatever, that will be the predominant thing. It's not like Nanda Maharaj chants 16 rounds. And he may not do that, but he's totally Krishna conscious. He's always thinking, eating, smelling Krishna as his son. So he's always thinking about Krishna every moment. And he worships on deity and offers the prasad to Krishna. He doesn't think Krishna is God. He thinks Krishna is his son. So we get that kind of relationship in a spiritual realm or in the lila of Krishna. While we're in this life, it's our service. So what your service is, it is service to preach. You want to learn slokas, you want to be qualified to preach, you want to be able to explain Krishna consciousness properly. If it's whatever your service is, Pujari, you want to please the deities. If it's service is Sankirtan, you distribute books and make a favorable impression on the people you talk to. Like, according to whatever your service is, you do that. So here we have, like, when people come to the temple, it's nice if there's someone who's assigned to take care of the visiting people, because that's the one thing that, like, India, usually, even here, though, I saw that girl, a lady from San Diego, Lakshmi Prakash, she complained that she went at noon to the Hyderabad temple, and there was no one to talk to her, although she was a donor. So like this, One thing is that they slipped up, they never forget. So I went to the Unitarian Church a few weeks ago. And they had, at least at the Sunday service, they had some members of their congregation as volunteers. They greeted the people that were coming. Even Walmart greets the people, right? It's a common thing. So they greeted the people that are coming. And anyone new, they give a visitor, first time, or they had some name tag that they wore. So they had that nice sticker. So it'd be nice if there's someone with that service. Because we probably might have everyone complained that no one had the time to take care of them. So we made a facilitation booth from 9 to 5. At least there's someone there to guide the people where to go, what they should do when they're there. So whatever your service is, that's your connection to Krishna. So you want to do your service real nice. You want to do it as expertly as possible. And in this way. So it's not that any service is less meaningful than others. All the services are important. Whatever you do, we try to do it carefully. Now, if the service is cooking, you want to cook the prasad that Krishna will be pleased. When the people eat the prasad, they'll also, their love for Krishna will be awakened by that prasad. So, Lord Chaitanya, he would taste the devotion of the cooks in the prasad. And I had a personal experience cooking in Montreal, cooking and offering, and I was like, head of Jari, temple president, the head cook, and only four of us in the temple, so a lot of things at one time. So I would cook all the prasad, I'd say to someone else, make up the plate. I jump in the shower, take a quick shower, come back, put on my tilak. I take the offering to the deities, Jagannath temples, or Jagannath all this, whatever. It was, I was so ecstatic to take the offering to Krishna. I don't have words to express. So, at this service, you can get unlimited nectar if you put your heart into it. That's my humble experience. One thing, when I joined in 68, there was three temples in ISKCON, San Francisco, New York, and Montreal. I saw all the temples. But now I've not seen all the temples. It's very difficult to see all the temples. There's like 500-600 all over the world. You know, who's seen all the temples? Mongolia, Philippines, Papua New Guinea. I may have seen more temples than most devotees, but I've not seen all the temples. But in 1968, I saw all the temples. They're going to open up L.A. that day. They're going to, and from Montreal, they went and opened up Vancouver, and I went and opened up Toronto. So like this, Prabhupada was in the mood, open temples at one time. Then he said, boil down the milk. Make the temples we have strong, self-sufficient. So like that, it went through different stages. By the end of his pastime, he had 108 temples. So this was predicted by some astrologer, that he would make 108 temples. So one person in 108. No, we all assisted him, but he was the one who had the vision. He was the one that was caring for us, pushing us. So we're unlimited grateful to Srila Prabhupada. He He's our life. He's our soul. So, Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada ki. Thank you. Thank you.